And we are rolling. Ha ha ha
ha. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Sorry, you don't get a lot of cool banter today because I'm sick and my voice is still recovering. Sorry about the late release. Clearly, it's because I'm sick.
Yeah. As you can tell by his even more attractive voice than usual.
Yeah.
He's very grovelly.
So grovelly and very healthy. It sounds great.
Yes.
Doesn't sound like I have a shit ton of snot coating my throat at all.
Or, you know, your throat might just be covered in cum.
It could be, but it's probably
snot. It's like almost solidifying, so it's like really hoarse trying to escape all the cum that's been trapped inside.
I never did this. I never had that sock that you came into for some reason. Like, I get the idea of people wanting to put a sock over their dick so they don't have to clean up, I guess.
Yeah. That's the appeal. Yeah.
So, like, I never got to feel the hardness of that sock when it got to be too much. So I'm assuming it gets pretty fucking hard.
It gets pretty hard. I mean, you can definitely, like, at a certain point, you get a crunch kind of if you try to bend it. And then you're like, yeah.
It just seems like a lot of work. Again. It'd be so much easier just to do your business and go.
My problem was I saw the movie American Pie and he came into a sock and I was like, I never thought of that.
Oh, that's the way everyone does it. Yeah.
That's a good idea. That's probably what everyone does and just started doing it. And then I was like, this is a waste of socks.
Yeah. And you're never going to wear
you have perfectly good tissues.
Yeah. You're never going to use that sock again.
No, never.
I mean, what it's intended for, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah.
Once
it goes on the penis, it's not for your feet anymore.
No. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm sure
you loved that.
Yeah, I'm sure you loved that. We are Soul of a Gamer. I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And every week we play a game, we tell you about it. So we hope you enjoyed our last week's game, which was?
Was that Slay the Princess?
That was Slay the Princess.
Yes.
We really liked that game. One. Yeah, it was a really interesting take on a kind of a novelization of a game, pretty much.
Yep.
Very interesting.
Visual novel.
Yeah. But this week's game is quite different, though. It's very different.
Yes.
More gameplay mechanics driven, so.
Yes. Cassette Beast.
Yep. Beast or Beasts?
Beasts.
Okay, I was like, yeah.
Plural.
Yeah.
I don't say that word the greatest.
That's okay. Beasts.
Beast.
Beats. As in what you grow in the ground.
Well, no, it's beast.
No, beets. That's what I'm saying. Beets. you can eat them raw if you want, but better cooked.
Well, it's definitely monsters, though. Not vegetables.
No, it's monsters. Monsters.
Monstars. Are we the Monstars? M-O-N.
No. See, the way you're saying it is monsters. You really, really shorten out that O.
Monsters, yeah.
No, monsters.
Dude, I say a lot of things a little weird.
You say wolf really weird, too. Wolf.
Wolf.
But it should be wolf.
Yeah,
if you were in grade school, they would slap the shit out of you. Be like, say it correctly, you fucking little bitch.
I also say to moon instead of to moan. I have to concentrate on how to say his name properly for some reason.
To moan?
Like Timon and Pumbaa.
Oh, to moan. Yeah, you really.
Timon and Pumbaa. I can't say it. I just, it's weird.
I'm guessing you're just lazy with your O's. I think that's a common
probably. Maybe.
It's just. Yeah. You try to get through your O faster than what the O is meant to be sounded as, I guess.
That's probably why everyone always makes fun of me for the city I live in, how I say it too, because it's ma-me, but I always say just like mommy, and everyone's like, oh, you're saying mommy? And I'm like, you want your mommy and your daddy? And I'm like, no, I live in the city of mommy.
What's it spelled like?
M-A-U-M-E-E.
Okay, yeah, you're wrong. I was going to say, if there was an O in there, I'd give it to you. Ma is a very strong A
ma.
Sound.
Yes, but sometimes the way I say it, it sounds more like an O
sound. I live in mommy.
Exactly.
And if they say you want your mama, papa, be like, bitch, those people beat me. And start crying, and then they'll feel really bad about it.
I feel like the only mommy I want is my wifey.
Jesus. Okay, well, now you're too far. All right, well, let's just jump right into this.
All right.
What's on the box?
This was a digital release game, so there isn't a box per se. But
I still miss the box art. I do really the
box
like
box art's still good.
Yeah, like I really like what they released as the game art, and I kind of wish they would add a box with that on it.
Yeah, no, this is a box. If I saw the artwork on it, I would 100% grab this. Like, this is really cool. Honestly, I love the art style of this a lot. I love the logo for Cassette Beast. It's really cool. But yes, collect awesome monsters to use during turn-based battles in this open-world RPG. Combine any two monsters' forms using Cassette Beast fusion system to create unique and powerful new ones.
That's a good little explanation.
Yeah.
I kind of like that better than going too in-depth with it, because...
Yes.
They could have literally just put this as a Final Fantasy Pokemon clone.
Which a lot of people are going to talk about when talking about this game, about it being similar to Pokemon.
It's way
similar, but it's way different.
It's way more similar to Final Fantasy than it ever will be Pokemon.
That's fair.
Status effects play such a huge fucking role in this.
Yes, yes, 100%. We'll get that more in gameplay, but yeah, honestly, like the way it's written out, the artwork for the game, the artwork for the cover page and everything, it's just amazing stuff. Like,
yeah.
I really would buy this box.
Yeah, if they had a box for it, I think you'd see it in a video store and buy it. So,
100%.
All right, well, let's move on.
Are we jamming?
All right. Tell us about the audio.
So there is no... Again, they didn't credit a composer, which I don't quite understand why they don't do that. I did read
think the makers of the game were also the ones who made the soundtrack.
I'm sure they are, because it was only two guys who made it, which is really fucking crazy. But then there was a third guy who was like half involved, who was a musician, who was the brother of one of the guys. So I just have to assume he did it.
Probably.
But I don't know. It was really hard to find information on the composer. Probably no composer, no voice actors. Whatever sound you heard during the game were digitized and made with like a keyboard or whatever. So
I really do dig a lot of the soundtrack and like background music on a lot of this. It's a lot of like really heavy synth wave kind of stuff. There's that really like kind of relaxing, cool indie song when you're in the main town.
I was going to say there is an original song. It sounds original. I don't know for sure. I actually forgot to look that one up, but it's a cool fucking song.
I really enjoy it. Yeah,
it's really long, though. It really expands over the town. You could stay in there for 50 minutes, and it continues to play.
Yeah.
I think it might be called Wherever We Go Now, or Wherever We Are Now.
Something like that.
Yeah, because those are the words I kept repeating during it.
Yeah. Dialogue for this, also, it's simple. There's not a lot of like choices and stuff. The choices don't really matter at all with the dialogue. But I do enjoy the dialogue. There are times where it's really funny. There's times where it's a little cringy. There's times where it's a little weird. But for the most part, I do enjoy it.
Yeah, and it does have a big relationship building kind of thing.
Yes.
Which is nice. They do actually like take the relationships of the game and do it a lot of on the other character side.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying things, but those things matter less of what the other characters are feeling.
Yeah.
Which I like that a lot, too. Like, the dialogue is not unimportant, but it's not the most important thing to get the right choices.
True.
I don't like playing a game where I not only have to play the game correctly, but also try and say the right things all the fucking time. Every once in a while is fine, but all the fucking time gets really old.
It's fun to have those choices that impact the game, but it's also one thing where it's like, if you're trying to get a certain ending and you're trying to make sure you want to play a certain way, having to be sure everyone's going to interpret what you're doing as a good thing is so hard in these games. So a lot of these games will like throw in like little random tricks like, oh, you're going to try to be good here, but everyone's going to see you as the most piece of shit awful guy, and you're going to lose all your relationships. Like, wait, how would that make any sense? What? Why?
All I did was slay the princess. Leave me alone.
Yeah, seriously. But no, I really enjoyed a lot of it. There was several times that I like kind of like just chuckled at the dialogue, and especially like some of the enemies on this. Like, there's a group of enemies that you think are vampires at first, and you find out that they're just real estate agents. It's so funny. It's so stupid,
and it's kind of weird because it's like presented very hardly as fucking vampires.
Yeah, it's like very much like that's 100% what you're gonna think of these people. But they're also like zombies in a way, mindless zombies.
Yeah,
it's yeah. But yeah,
yeah.
Don't have a lot to say. Most of the things that you read, all the dialogue, there is like they'll say like a certain word here or two, or they'll say their name, or they'll say certain things. But most of the characters don't say much.
It's like
most of it, you read it.
When we talked about Dream Daddy, they would say, "Oh my god!" every once in a while.
Yeah,
like that's amazing. While the dialogue is going on at the bottom, that's completely different from what they just said.
Yep.
So that's a common trope in text-to-speech games.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much all I have to say about that stuff.
Yeah, I think dialogue was good. I give it a good grading on this. It was okay. Wasn't amazing. Wasn't terrible. So it worked for the game, though.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
How does it play?
All right. How does it play in the mechanics? This is going to be where the nitty-gritty of the game of where you either probably love or hate this game is going to be down to the mechanics, honestly.
So this game, to start out, let's just start by saying, sure, it's like Pokemon.
But it's not. You it's cannot really compare not. It to Pokemon at all.
No.
Like, not in the slightest.
Like, Pokemon, same idea. You find something you want to catch, you battle it, and you record it, but you don't catch it. So you still have to defeat it after you record it.
I really like this approach to it. It's so unique. And, well, one of the other things we should say, too, you turn into the beast yourself.
Yeah. You are fighting. So, you're not, like, sending them out to fight.
The biggest part of that, the thing that took me a little bit to figure out in this game was, because of that, all status effects are on you as a person, not on the individual monsters you play as.
Yep. Which is really frustrating somewhat, but also very cool.
But also, like, when you go to record a monster, or catch it, you become vulnerable. You get out of the state of being a monster, and you are just yourself. And you have a separate health bar as an individual as you do as a monster. So if they knock out your monster's health bar and your health bar, you can't bring out any more monsters. You're done. And that's it.
You lose a bunch of material, and you go to what's akin to a Pokemon Center.
Yeah. So. Very interesting, very unique, very different. If you go into this thinking you're going to play a Pokemon clone, you're going to be confused and get angry a lot, like I did at the beginning.
I was so confused during this game. So they do have typings in this game.
Yes.
They had dark, neutral, I think, was one of them, fire, water, ice. They had all those things, and they said that there were typings that were better against each other, but honestly, playing it didn't really seem like it.
So the one thing with that, and it doesn't necessarily say it in the game itself, I had to look this up, all the effects of like type versus type are only status effects. None of them do any more damage.
But they fire don't do doesn't any less do
double
damage.
Or quadruple damage to Leaf like it would in Pokemon.
I don't remember what Leaf was called plant. In there. Was it plant? Okay. I was pretty sure it wasn't Leaf.
And water doesn't do double damage to fire. What it does is it gives a status effect, like lowering its defense, lowering its power output, lowering its speed, lowering... It gives you some sort of status effect against that.
The dumb ones were like fire against flying. It would fucking give them a shield.
Yeah, it would create an updraft. But that makes sense, though, because you're mixing hot air with cold air, and that does create a little
mini
tornado in front of them.
Aren't you doing that all the time? Every time you breathe,
no, not necessarily.
Every time you breathe fire, aren't you mixing hot air with whatever neutral air is out there?
Neutral air.
Yeah.
But so they're using wind abilities, and they have wind naturally generating from them.
Which makes it colder. No, not the way it works. But it was just interesting stuff like that. It's all status effect stuff. But you kind of wish that there was a little bit extra damage or less damage when you're fighting these. Because then you don't... The only reason I'd like that is because it puts more on you to switch.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Yeah, the only thing... I just kept using the same two because even if it was not beneficial abilities, their attack was so high, it wouldn't even fucking matter.
Yeah.
And if they had the ricochet ability and they were a fire type, well, then if you hit the shield, you still do damage to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't benefit the other person at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's times where it's nice, like, especially, like, electric type, if you hit it with a something that neutralizes like a plastic against electric type, it actually makes it so it can only like it lowers its accuracy and lowers it amount of people it hits. So if they have team hitting it hits, it only hit one person instead of the entire team. So there's some things where it is beneficial if you use the right thing in the right time, like even changing, because you can also change people's types in the midst of battle too.
Yeah, which is also interesting. Which is
very, very unique, which is also why I like shinies or bootlegs in this game more than I do in Pokemon 2, because not only do you like find a style of this that's in a different color, but it's also a different type now.
Yeah.
So you can get every Poke or every beast in this game in every type. There's 14 different types in the game, 15 if you count glitter, but glitter's not a type that's in any monster. It's only a type in a move. So it's cool.
It gets a little weird throughout as you're playing, but the gameplay is very good. It is built on like a 2D/3D landscape, kind of like the old Pokemon games were built.
I really like the but
there's
a
lot there's a lot more mobility in it than the old Pokemon games. You have like jumping abilities, you can glide, you can fly a little bit if you catch the right creature, you can move items on the ground, you can
you have an electromagnetic ability.
Yeah, it lets you pull things towards you. Also lets you repel things.
You can turn into a vine ball and climb up walls.
Mm-hmm. You can dash really fast and hit enemies if you get the right badge for it. It's really cool what they did with this.
Yeah.
Overworld was just as fun as being in the actual battles.
Yes. This game, I think it has really great pacing until the end game, and then it becomes really grindy.
I guess I didn't notice that. I was grinding all the way through thinking like, oh, I better just grind my shit out of this game just to have fun. But then I noticed that all the enemies I was always facing were like two levels behind me.
Yeah.
And I almost thought they did that on purpose. So like, you're never too strong.
The game automatically adapts every enemy in the game to your level.
Yeah.
So you're never getting too far ahead. I mean, there is certain areas of the game that are always going to stay low.
Yeah.
So, like, if you go to that first beach right out of the town, all of the beasts there are always going to be under level 5 or something like that. And certain areas of the game are going to have higher level beasts for sure. So it's kind of like an Elden Ring in that aspect where, like, all the different... it's spread out by difficulty over the map.
It's a non-linear game, so you can go to the harder parts of the map right away, but you're not going to... Not going to do well gonna there.
Going to be hard, as we said a little bit earlier, too, the fusion system, this is a really unique and interesting system. Any two beasts can be fused together to create a whole new beast that combines all of their moves and combines, like, their stats and stuff, too. And it makes it so if you have two different types, like a metal type and a electric type, now it's a metal electric type when it's fused together. And I think of its attacks could do that too. And I'm like,
I don't remember
insane.
If I saw this or not. I think I read that they had a program that basically auto fused things so they didn't have to write all the code for write each and every individual fusion out. So basically it would take whatever beast and fuse them together and create a new beast. And all you would have to do is create the image for the beast. Mm-hmm. So and that was really nice, I bet, for them, that they were able to fuse them without having to worry about actually writing out all the stats and shit.
Which, speaking of moves and stuff in the game, I will say this is probably the best of all of these games. I wish Pokemon would do something like this.
I don't know. I kind of wished it was a little bit more condensed. It was a little long.
It is a little long.
But you can also put a bunch of passives on and just have 4 moves you use.
Exactly. You can have, I think it is upwards to, what is it, 8 or 10 moves?
I think it's 10.
Yeah. But, and you can have them with any amount of passives or any amount of attacks or any amount of supporting things or any whatever. Like, you can take, all of those are stickers on your cassette that you have the beast recorded on. And you can take those stickers off and put them on other Pokemon that are allowed to use the same moves. So, certain moves like Heroic Blade, you can only use that move if your character has a sword. Or if that beast has a sword.
Yeah.
But any beast that has a sword, you can put that move and just take it off of them and put it on any one of those people. It's really cool just being able to move all the moves around. If you catch a Pokemon with a really awesome move and you're like, ooh, I want that on my favorite character, you can just transfer
Pokemon.
It over.
You gotta stop saying Pokemon.
I need to quit saying Pokemon, sorry. Monsters, beast, cassettes. Ah!
Whatever you want to say that's not Pokemon. You can say Digimon for all I care.
Fine. The that Digimon.
Makes, that makes more sense on Pokemon in this case.
True.
There's a couple other things that are really cool, and the exploration is really encouraged in this game.
Yes.
there are, like, I don't know, alpha beasts, I guess you'd call them.
Rogue fusions?
Yeah, there are rogue fusions out there that basically they're randos that fuse together that you can fight. What sucks is you can't catch a fusion.
Yeah.
It would be cool if you could. So you can always have that fusion available. And then instead of starting with two, you just start with one fusion guy. That would have been really cool of them. They also have legendaries, kind of, in this game.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple that you can find in certain desolate areas. And if you find them and you beat them and you don't catch them, they just appear on their map randomly.
Yeah.
That's how I caught the flying one that gave me the flying ability.
Avior or yeah. whatever that was called.
Yeah. I defeated it because that's the one you fight with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then I defeated it and I couldn't catch it. I'm like, this is fucking stupid. And then go out in the world and I randomly find it and I catch it. I'm like, okay, now we're fine.
Nice. One of the other ones of those is Glassdane.
Was that the church one?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's one of the few glass types you actually see in the wild.
Yeah, I wanted to catch that one too, but I just didn't feel like looking for it after I beat it.
You can hear rumors from people in the city, which the rumor system in the city is really nice too for kind of telling you about certain events, or even telling you, like, when you get to the end game, it tells you about a shirtless merchant that appears, and he's only in a spot for, like, 5 minutes, so you have a limited amount of time to go to him, and he has rare things you don't typically get.
Oh, nice. I didn't even get that. You do get companions in this game, so you're always fighting in a dual 2-on-2 system unless you fuse, and it's 1-on-2. But it's basically same thing. You're a stronger creature, so... you do get items in this game to help heal you, revive your stuff. You can find these special materials that help you buy, like, bonuses to capturing power, bonuses to attack power, bonuses to how much items you can hold. Like, this game does feature a lot of cool things in it that really do shine out if you play through it. And this game's replayability is probably really high.
Oh, it's insane. And, like, the RPG elements and stuff, like, you can change all of your base stats at a certain point in the game once you defeat all the rangers and you become a ranger yourself.
Did you defeat all the rangers?
I did.
It was really fucking annoying to defeat all the rangers.
I'm actually on my second run through
nice
facing them again, because after you beat the game, and if you don't go to the end game, if you stay on the island, you can keep doing stuff, and there's a ton of extra in-game stuff after
Before you leave, so you can just decide not to leave again.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I decided to leave to see what the end game was like, but there's also, like, a lub system in this, kind of. I don't really quite understand it. I got one character up to 4 stars and then just said, okay, that's good enough.
Oh, I am in a relationship with Kaylee.
Yeah. Kaylee, you can kiss her after 4 stars, I think. She plays guitar for you on her bed, but then if you get her to 5 stars, you can actually be in a relationship with her.
Yep, and then she'll actually play, like, a full song for you, which it's actually a pretty sweet song.
Yeah.
It's kind of short and stuff, but it's really cute. And then what's really cool is after you actually are in a relationship with a character, instead of when you camp out to heal your Pokemon, or not your Pokemon, when you heal your Digimon, your cassette beast, you usually have 2 tents set up for it, and you usually have a conversation before the end of the night. But when you get in a relationship, there's only 1 tent, but it's a larger tent. And I'm like,
I'd rather have it be a smaller tent.
Right?
Right.
Get closer.
Yeah. but yeah, that's pretty much all gameplay aspects of this game, I would say.
We didn't bring up Archangels as well.
Oh, yeah. That's
kind of boss mechanics.
There are bosses.
I think that's maybe what you were saying.
Yeah, I want to jump into that in the story more of, but
fair.
There are bosses in this game, and they do play almost exactly the same as the regular thing, so.
Yeah.
There's only, like, a tiny difference between them where they don't use their specials. Oh, and sorry, there is a stamina system in this game.
Oh, yes.
Both in battle and outside of battle. In battle, basically, you can only use abilities if your star system is up, which is basically stamina. Mm-hmm. Each turn, you get so much stamina. When you fuse, you get more stamina per turn.
Yeah.
And then outside of battle, you get a certain amount of stamina to do special stuff like climb with the vines or fly or swim or do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right, okay. Let's move on.
All right.
It's time for reviews.
All right, so I did pull up some reviews for this today. So we will do what we normally do, and we will read through some of your guys' reviews and see if you are a little bitch boy like we are, or if you are valid in your excuses and or reasons for liking or hating the game.
We say your guys' because we assume all of you wrote these reviews.
Yes. These are your personal reviews. We hope we get you to that point where you guys start just sending us your reviews and we'll read them out.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that'd be fine. Or you just say, hey, I left a review on Google Review. Good luck finding it.
Yeah, I'll search for it. I will. One of the first ones that I saw on here was pretty funny. Six gay idiots and a dog team up against eldritch beings to un-isekai themselves.
Interesting.
They're not wrong.
Six gay idiots.
Yeah.
Is the dog gay too?
Well, he's like six gay idiots and a dog.
Oh, and a dog. Okay. I was like, I don't remember how many people were in there, but I'm pretty sure.
Which I think all the characters can be bisexual.
I think all of them. I think
you can have a relationship with any of them. And even when I first started having a relationship with Kaylee, she said she liked girls beforehand, but she kind of liked me too.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right?
Like, you're turning me. I don't like that. I don't like that aspect, but okay.
Well, no, it's not necessarily turning. You can be attracted to both male and female, I know, but still be in a heteronormative relationship.
It's just interesting. All right. Was that a one star or a five star?
That was a five star one.
Okay, I like that one. That's fun.
This one, it's a little long. I don't know if I want to read all of it, but he had a lot of pluses and only a few minuses. A better version of Pokemon made for the PC. It has similar pluses and minuses, but it is generally better. Amazing, cozy, epic rock soundtrack. Nice aesthetic and pixel art. Fun gameplay. Some bosses felt especially great. Gameplay compared to Pokemon. Easier capturing, easier upgrading, easier swapping of beast skills. He liked the difficulty that can be adjusted. No animal slavery is part of the world settings. You transform into the beast instead of you forcing others to fight.
Yeah.
The minuses he had were grinding and post-game, and characters and stories are nice and cozy, but rather simple.
Okay.
Pretty fair.
Yeah, I think so. All
aspects of that. Let's see. I really enjoyed this one. You turn into monsters like Ben 10 and then DBZ fusion dance with your depressed bisexual millennial friends to fight the witches of Madoka Magica.
That one's beautiful. That one is... that. There is no better way to describe what you're doing besides saying you're like Ben 10 and DBZ with the fusions. That was literally perfect.
Gold.
Gold star for you, sir.
Arch Staten. Gold stars all around.
that is soul of a game of podcast review. Approved behavior.
So good. For almost 20 years now, I've wanted a game that could reignite the passion I experienced the first time I played Pokemon. I wanted to feel young again. I don't feel young. I still feel old as shit, but hey, this game's pretty good.
I was kind of hoping that would turn into, and this game wasn't it, and I still haven't found it.
Oh. Here's another fun one. You team up with bisexuals and turn into Pokemon in order to destroy both biblically accurate angels and the housing market. If that doesn't convince you to buy this game, I don't know what will.
Well, everyone's really hitting hard on that bisexual thing. Like, bisexuals, you get it?
I don't know why. That's like the biggest thing about
They're
it.
Like,
but I mean,
look, everyone, you could fuck a man or a woman. You're weird. Ha ha ha.
Speaking of, here's a hateful one
that
I had to announce on here. This game is trash. They ask for your pronouns. They really need to be an LGBTQ warning label on these type of things. I don't want my kids brainwashed with their Jewish Marxist ideology.
Why is that Jewish?
I have no idea.
Like, and that's not Marxist either. Marxist is very different. This person needs to read a fucking book.
He needs to do something. He needs to live out in the real world. Like, what the hell? Like, none of this makes any sense.
And in the end, you could say he, him, then. Just fucking put it in.
Yeah, you can put whatever pronouns you want. If you want to put he, him, just put he, him. Yeah. That's what you want. Like, you don't have to play as they, them.
That should be beneficial to your kids, because then you'll know exactly what they are when they pick their fucking character.
Exactly. I look forward to the sequel, Combat Disc Creatures.
You know, Jesus Christ. That was good. What's funny is when we were kids, we would have games where you could play as a guy or a girl.
Yeah.
And no one blew up about the fact when a guy decided to play as a girl.
Seriously.
Like, but now they're blowing up because they have a third option to pick. And I know it's more than three, but it's a third option to pick, yeah, basically, is what they're mad about. It gets really weird. It's really strange.
I just hate, like, just the, why care? Like, if,
yeah,
why does it matter to you? If you don't want to play an LGBTQ game, then don't play it. And if it has it in it, like,
I bet that person plays WoW and has female characters, and we should make fun of him for doing that. You know, who posted that too.
Yeah. I read six reviews to you, and like four of them said something about LGBT or bi or gay characters. You take one look at the reviews and you see that that's what this game has in it.
Yeah.
Like,
and plus, you've read all those reviews and only one of them was fucking like spiteful against it. The other one's more informational. It's just funny that they point it out every single time.
I will say this was a game on Steam that was like 98% positive. There's only like 200 negative reviews.
And they're probably all, God, fuck the they-them bullshit.
Yeah, seriously. I bet you anything. Pretty much most of the downgrading of this. Who would win, the highest grossing media franchise of all time or two British boys?
Two British boys.
Two British boys.
Let's go. If you guys don't remember, that's a reference to the two people who made the game.
Yes. Some maniac decided to create a unique sprites for every single fusion between every single two monsters in the game. That alone deserves a positive review.
Yeah.
Fair. The game showed promise to me at first. Interesting premise and a good sense of humor, but it ended up feeling a little tedious and samey after a while, and that's where I stopped feeling like playing it.
I don't know. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad review.
This game is going to attract people who really like this game style. It's like that final... Like I said, don't think of this as Pokemon. Think of it as Final Fantasy, because that's really what it is.
Yeah.
That Final Fantasy gameplay style, the original ones at least, was a lot harder to get into than the newest ones are.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really, really fucking, like, status heavy. Status effects were a huge part of Final Fantasy in the beginning.
Yes.
So.
I'll just do a couple more. Gameplay is mostly fun. I just hate the story. It's an isekai. And all the characters, all of them, are annoying stereotypes, except for maybe the dog.
So
I'm also...
Sorry, we should define an isekai really fast.
Oh, yes.
I believe isekai is just like you're taken from your world and put into a fantasy world kind of deal.
Yes,
a lot that's of people what do isekai it, is. Yeah, a lot of people do it with like real world to video games, but some are like real world to fantasy, real world to sci-fi, real world to whatever.
A lot of our introductions into isekai was Sword Art Online, stuff like that, Overlord. Yeah.
So just so you guys know, that's what they're saying when they mean isekai.
Yes. I'm also not a big fan of the music. I don't think there is anything wrong with it. It's just not for me.
Okay. I don't like the music. There's nothing wrong with it, but it sucks. It's really weird. Okay.
This game needs a speed-up quick mode. Having to watch the same battle animations for countless battles will drive any sane person mad.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that too. Yeah, turn off the battle animations.
Yes, or just to have a speed up. Like, I would love it just a speed up battle thing, like 1.5 speed for battles.
Yeah, could be.
Anything.
Or even just turning off the animations would probably make that feel better.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it just goes on way too long.
Genuinely the single most engaging monster collector I've ever touched. Charming designs with an incredible deep combat system, very engaging story are all positives, but the single best part of this game is its soundtrack. It's been nearly half a year since I first played, and I still keep going back to it just because of just how catchy every battle theme is. I could not recommend this more highly. Please play this masterpiece.
I like how that guy said the soundtrack was good and the other guy said it was not that good.
Right?
What is it, people? Is it good or bad?
It's both. But yeah, I'll just stop it there. There's just a lot of like pretty good reviews for it. But yeah, like I said, this is overwhelmingly majority positive of this. It's just great reviews.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to our next little segment here.
It's story time. Let's get started.
All right, Scott, read us a story.
We're going to see how well I get through this. Okay.
It's going to say if I need to jump in at any time.
I'll let you know. Just so you guys know, this is made by, I think it's Bitten Studio. It might be Bitten Studio. It's B-Y-T-T-E-N.
Okay. I think it's Bitten.
It's
yeah.
probably Bitten, but Bitten sounds good too, either way. The story of Cassette Beast follows you as the protagonist, awakening on an island. You don't know how you got to the island, and you realize there are beasts that attack you. A helpful person named Kaylee shows you that you can use a cassette player to turn into beasts and have... Oh, that have been... Wait. What did I write here? A helpful person named Kaylee shows you that you can use a cassette player to turn into beasts that have been recorded using cassettes. Mm. You realize that everyone on the island does not understand how they got here. People had been trying to find a way home, but they found out home is more confusing than what it appears to be. Everyone is either from a different time or a different dimension. Mm-hmm. After a while of searching, almost everyone has given up on getting home. Kaylee takes you out to teach you about recording and battling monsters. You then run into an archangel. These things that are very strong and some thought to be fake. The archangel's name is Morgante. And after defeating it, it promises to help you get home if you help strengthen it. You agree, and you take Kaylee out to find more. You also find other friends on your adventures that help you finish off all the other archangels. After all is done, you find out that Morgante used to travel with other beings named Aleph and the Amber Lodge. They split at some point, and Aleph defeated Morgante, but not before Morgante locked Aleph on the island. The Amber Lodge continued to explore other dimensions. After you defeat enough archangels, you head where Morgante's door is to head home. Aleph is there and wants to break free of the island. You have to fight him and all the archangels he has taken to help him on his quest. You and your companions defeat him and are sent home. That's it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
There's a lot that happens in between that. A lot of like short story stuff, a lot of side adventures, cool little like cameos of people too.
Mm-hmm.
Some fun stuff like I met Aristotle and Socrates.
Socrates, that was really funny.
Like, and the dimension thing was really interesting in this game because everyone is basically from a different dimension that's not the same as the one you came from.
And it's different, like all the different things on it. Like, I really like when you get, I think I can't remember his name, but it was the painter guy. Felix, maybe?
Yeah, Felix. Okay. No, maybe. Yeah, or, I think you're right.
Okay.
The artist.
But, yeah, he had this, like, kind of, like, animated, like, little, like, visual book kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was really cool, but it was, like, very unique to his world, and no one had ever heard of it in their other worlds, and he, like, shows you, like, this little, like 2D, like, it was, like, one of those, like, rolling animation things, like, you see... It's like some old-timey things. It was really cool, though.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff that they really jump in on here. Some of them were really interesting, like random terrorist attacks were never happened here. The real estate people.
Yeah.
They're from a dimension where they completely screw up everything for everyone. No one can afford a home, and a bunch of people are homeless because of it. So it's like a darker side to some of these like kind of innocent sounding things, which was really cool.
There's a cult side story in this too. Kaylee used to be a part of this cult.
Kaylee was a top player in the cult.
Yeah.
It's just it is interesting how they really like fleshed out a lot of these stories when they really didn't have to. They could have just said like fuck the side characters, we can just have you go defeat archangels, hear rumors about them and find them.
Yeah, no, so many of the characters, like, you get a lot of backstory and a lot of things on almost each individual character, and you can have a lot of conversations with each individual character, too, and talk to them about certain things, and the more you build up the relationship with each one in your party and stuff, too, is pretty crazy.
Yeah. So now tell me, where was your final location at?
My final location was over, oh gosh, it was by like the shipyard or where the ship, the crash ship was.
Okay, so like each time you play through, you get a different final location, which I thought was interesting.
It can be in one of three places.
It's like one of, I think they expanded it when they did the DLC. So it's like one of eight, I think.
And you get different songs that you get from all the different archangels. Yeah, depending on, yeah.
Well, it just depends on the order in
the
which
game you get rolled.
Yeah, I think I saw maybe the order in which you get them. I really don't know how that worked out, but it was
so the songs can be different on each gameplay too.
And well, what I mean is like
different spots.
I wonder if it's each gameplay or if it's each like, because you don't start each one the same way. You could head to any archangel you really want, it sounds like, right off the bat.
I heard it was per game from what I read.
It's probably per game then, but it just seemed weird. I only know because I got so confused with my riddle. I'm like, this is the dumbest fucking system in the world. Just tell me where to go.
I tried looking it up, but mine was one of the ones that didn't have an explanation for.
Yeah, see, I couldn't find any good information on where to find this, so I was like, all right, fuck it. We're going to try, like, way up here. And I went to the mall, and it was on top of the mall. I'm like, why the fuck was it up here?
Oh.
This made no sense. They're like, go to the forest. And you're in the forest, and that's, like, the final clue you get. And it's, like, not... The mall's not in the fucking forest.
Mine was, like, find a place that had grass and sand, and then find a log, and then stand on the log for 30 seconds at night, and it'll open up a portal. I'm like,
oh, what? I had to open my map three times.
I had to stand on a log for 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's kind of... Those things are kind of dumb. I would have rather them just have the blast area.
Well,
I get it. It kind of increases the replayability because you get a different puzzle to solve, but
so
I don't know.
I will say this as well.
Wasn't that interesting?
So there's... you need eight archangels to get the full song, to hear the entire riddle, to know where to go.
Yeah.
There are nine archangels, though. If you defeat the ninth archangel, it actually puts it on your map, that location.
Oh, did it? I defeated the ninth archangel and I didn't get it.
So it should have, unless you missed one. Or there might be more than nine. I can't remember exactly how many archangels there are, but you had to defeat all the archangels to get the location on the map.
Okay, I didn't know
that.
But
you only needed eight to get the riddle to try to solve it yourself.
Yeah, because I thought I was done with archangels, so I'm like, okay, I'll do a... Because I missed one person's quest. I don't remember who it was.
Every person's quest also had an archangel. So.
Yeah, I missed one person's quest, and I decided to take them out, because I'm like, okay, well, I already got all the archangels, so I won't really have to worry about doing an archangel. It's probably just a fusion event that happened somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I go out and I'm like, oh, there's another archangel. That's fucking weird. I think it was Felix.
Felix has the Sunny Kaneko, that like art creation that came to life.
Yeah, and she becomes
shiny. Yeah. I really liked that character. That's one of the strongest beasts in the game, honestly.
Oh, is it?
I used
it for a little while, but honestly, my combo worked out really well. I used the raptor thing.
Okay.
And then I used the dandelion thing because his status effects were fucking crazy.
I did the poison starter that I started with and the shiny.
You didn't pick the candy one?
The poison candy one, yeah.
Oh, you picked the candy one?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, which one did you pick?
I picked the candy one and I turned it poison later on.
Later. So later you can buy the opposite one.
Yes.
And I originally chose a sheep guy. I was really unsatisfied with my choice.
The candy one. Yeah.
Yeah, the candy one was way cooler. I might have just screwed up and not chosen the right evolution, because you get to choose your first evolution with it. So I kind of wish I would have actually tried to research the evolutions a little bit. But true. I quit using it after I caught the raptor guy and then just started using raptor dandelion dude.
Fair, fair.
Best combo in the game, dude.
That purple cat, though, Felix's creation.
Yeah.
It has perfect stats. It has perfectly even stats all the way around. It's beast I saw in the entire game that had that.
That's not always a good thing. That usually means that they don't have very high stats in one.
It had the second highest stats of all of the...
Interesting. Well, it was an archangel, so...
second highest stats of all of the beasts that I had. I actually did like a whole Excel spreadsheet of all the stats because I go way in depth with this shit.
Yeah, when I used it, its moveset wasn't very good, and I didn't want to like try to figure out.
You have to give it a better moveset for sure.
Yeah, I didn't want to try to figure out how big of a moveset it could learn. And like I said, the raptor and the dandelion dude were
actually the one I finished the game with, and the one I'm doing late game now is actually Au Revoir, or that flying Pokemon.
Yeah,
that flying monster and the can devil one.
Yeah.
Those two together, especially because with that tower defense ability that yeah. bird Pokemon has, bird monster. I don't know why I keep saying Pokemon. I hate it.
Because you're trained.
I am. I loved that thing where it's an air type, but I gave it all defensive moves and all buffing moves. Yeah. And then I had it so when it got below 50%, it turned to earth type and then it became a tower. And then I would just heal it. And so it was ridiculous. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some cool combos you could probably do in this game. The replayability is huge, guys. Like,
mm-hmm.
giant. And the story itself, I mean, it's okay. It's not amazing.
No.
By far, like, the side stories are better than the actual story itself.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You don't really, this isn't like a blockbuster hit with how good the story gets and how deep it gets, but the side stories really do make the game better, and that I think that was their point in making it like that.
For sure. I agree.
It makes it harder to leave the island at the end when you're playing it for the side stories.
Yes. And I'm trying to get a lot of the achievements and stuff in it, so I'm like, oh, it's going to take me forever. And I just bought the DLC for it.
Yeah. When I bought it on Switch, and it came with the DLC, so...
Oh, nice.
Eventually, I'll jump in and do the DLC for it.
Cool.
And maybe eventually we'll have a DLC episode.
That'd be cool. I'd be down. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all I got for a story. I mean, it's good. It's just not great. Could be better.
Like we said, the mechanics of this game is where this mainly lies.
Yeah.
Side stories are fun. Character development's fun.
Yeah.
About all I can say about it.
Yeah, let's move on.
Worth or not?
All right, so what is your review of the game?
I think this game is a worth. I think going through it was really good. It had a lot of cool things that I tried. Some of them didn't work out so well. A lot of them worked out really well. So if you guys get a chance, play it. It does have a slow crawl in the beginning, I will say.
Yeah,
there's a lot of a big bit of a learning curve in it, but as soon as you get through that learning curve, you're gonna fly through this and have so much fun playing.
The game does really do a really good job though of teaching you as well. Like when a new effect happens, it pops out a pop-up like, hey, this is what's happening, this is why it's happening.
Yeah,
and I think it'll do it to you twice, so the first time that effect happens to you and the second time that effect happens to you, and then it'll stop doing that pop-up bubble, which I also really appreciate. It's like, hey, this is something you need to learn. All right, now you've learned it. I'm going to stop telling you, but you've learned it. We told you. this game does have a really high... No, I wouldn't say really high learning curve, but it does have a decently high learning curve, especially if you go into the mindset of treating it like a Pokemon game. Yeah. This is not Pokemon in the slightest. You cannot have that in your brain. It will ruin things for you.
Yeah, for sure. It's... One thing this game suffers from that I think that I didn't really touch on that later Pokemon games suffer from too is the names. I can't tell you the names of a single fucking beast.
Well, and some of the names are just really hard to pronounce. Like that flying one. It's such a weird name. It's like Au Revoir. It's like two V's and like every vowel. And it's like, what is that? Like, I don't know how to say that. And like, there's no characters that tell you the names, so you don't know how to pronounce them.
Yeah, I would have probably simplified the names a little bit. Only because, I remember all the 151 and 251 Pokemon and everything. But after that, it starts getting a little hazy.
Yeah.
Third gen, I remember a lot of them, but by fourth gen, I couldn't name like 10.
Oh, seriously, though. The more and more Pokemon went on, the less and less I remembered.
Yeah.
I probably only know the names got, until, like, second generation.
Yeah, the names got a little bit ridiculous, and that's what this game is suffering from right now. The names are just a little bit too much.
Yeah. And, like, there's some of them that are actually, like, really fun. Like, what was it? Kativi? Or Kitty TV.
Yeah, like the cool electric one.
Yeah, it was the electric cat, and then when it upgraded, it became Cat 5, which a play on the Cat 5 cable for Ethernet. Yeah. And I was like, that's fun. Like, there are fun kind of ones like that that make sense to their names, but then there's some that are just, like, beyond.
Way out
like,
there.
What is that? How do you say that?
Yeah, I would have liked them to simplify it a little bit, you know, and that's fine. Even just giving them a number, I think the number would have been easier to deal with than a name. But
yeah,
I get why they like to name things, too.
True.
But I think it also shows, like, the... Because everyone's
They did have numbers for all of them, too, though.
Well, what I mean is, like, instead of names, it'd just be one, two,
just,
you know.
Yeah,
I would have been okay with that as well. But I think what the point was is there's a lot of characters from a lot of different dimensions, but also a lot of different time periods.
True.
So if, like, Socrates named something, it would sound way different from, like, Cat 5.
You know... When you say it like that, because people are literally discovering these beasts and then probably naming them as they discover them, that's, honestly, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
so it makes sense what they're doing. It's just, it's a little annoying when you're trying to, like, figure out what they are.
True. No. That's fair.
So, yeah. I mean, I think worth all the way. This game fucking rocks. You guys should play it.
I like I said it before, but yeah, this game 100% worth it. It's on Game Pass if you have Game Pass, so you don't have to pay for it. Most of the time it's $20. You can get on the sale for $15-$13 or something on most places, though. So definitely 100% worth your money. You're not going to spend $20 in a better way than buying this game if you're interested in the slightest.
Yeah, skip out on that Burger King 1 week and go fucking buy this game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
1 week. One visit to Burger King now.
Whatever you have in the UK, too, because we have a lot of listeners in the UK.
Yeah. They have McDonald's there.
I don't know what the fuck they have there.
I don't know. I don't know either.
I don't know how much they spend at McDonald's in the UK. Hopefully it's not that much.
Hopefully. Should be cheaper there.
Hopefully.
Everything.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for us this week.
Yes.
Our next week's game is also exciting. It is...
Yes. Ratchet & Clank. This is the 2016 reimagining of the original.
Yeah. Which I don't know what that means because I never played the original, so...
It's built off of from the original game. They changed some of the mechanics, changed some of the origins of some of the characters, and changed some of the missions a little bit, and changed the gameplay. But everything else is basically the same. And
what
they did a movie tie-in with this.
What you literally just said was they changed literally everything, but it's the same as the game.
No, They took the base game, they changed some of the origins, they changed some of the gameplay,
and
they added some extra stuff to it.
You said like six things and then said, but it's pretty much the same thing.
It is, though. There's also a movie tie-in with this one, too. I haven't watched it, though.
I haven't either. I'm sure it's good.
I kind of want to watch it.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week. Sorry for the late release this week.
Yep. Have fun.
Bye.
Bye.